You know that if you want to have a successful business, you need visibility to generate leads, a service or a product, and sales. Now, this is the what. The how depends on your business module, preferences, and personal skill set. Today, Dana Johnson will break down for us how to leverage Pinterest as an evergreen marketing tool. Welcome to the Online Business by Design podcast. I'm your host, Ivana Ivanek, and this is your mindset and marketing podcast to help you build a business next to your 9-to-5 without burning out. And most importantly, enjoying your business journey while you're making money and impact. Grab your favorite note-taking device, lean back, and get inspired. I believe that everything you need to build a business of your dreams is already within you. Welcome back, friends, to the Online Business by Design podcast. It's your host, Ivana Ivanek, today with amazing Dana Johnson on the show. We are going to speak marketing tools today, and specifically how to use Pinterest, which is a more unexplored platform. Dana is not considering it to be a social media platform, but we are going to dive all into that and into practical tools so you can go away from this episode with some new knowledge and actionable steps for your digital business. Hello, Dana.
Hi, I'm excited to be here.
So it took us a while to get together as we all are living lives and having appointments and full calendars, but I'm excited we are here today. And let me ask you straightforward, Dana, you left your 9-to-5 after only 2 years starting your business. Can you take us shortly through the journey, why you started, and how it went so nicely and actually very fast for you?
So it's really funny, but my owning a business was never the plan.
Interesting.
So it was genuinely meant to be like a buffer for my budget. Because at the time, I'm married now, but at the time, I was a single mom of 3 kids, and me being the planner and the saver, I just wanted to plan ahead in case worst case scenarios happened, I had more cushion in my budget, basically. So when I was given the ability to work from home, because I started my business in 2020, right at the height of the pandemic, and I was an office manager for an insurance agent in my area. And they were like, go home, stay home, take your computer with you. And I was like, well, I can do both. No one can multitask better than a mom. So I had my laptop on one side and my whole setup for the business over here. And it was just me trying to do both. I started as a virtual assistant, just doing general admin, tech support, like that sort of thing. And as I gained clients, without really trying, I really put like half the effort into it. I just wanted 1 to 2 clients, bring in as much money as I could, and then that was it. But then I noticed that my revenue from half effort was matching my take-home pay. So then I was like, well, what if I really focused on growing, and then I could replace my take-home pay and then have more flexibility, and that into like what I can and can't do during the day. I don't have to worry about sick kids, like all of the family responsibilities at the time. So I got a bookkeeper. They helped me really figure out how much to charge, how many clients I needed. Like really, I needed the data. I needed the numbers. And so I worked towards that. And then through that process, I had gotten married, and my husband was very supportive and honestly wrote my email for me of giving my 2 weeks notice. And we've been growing ever since.
Okay, you call it an accident. I do not say an accident per se. Like there was something that was meant to be. And I think the experiences I have made myself and having conversations all over the globe with entrepreneurs and my clients, it gets to show every time we want to force ourselves into something and overly control the outcome. I'm not saying leave everything up to the divine, because marketing is marketing and it will always stay marketing. But if we try to force something and don't allow ourselves the chance to perhaps fail or to discover something new, I think we set ourselves up for actual failure because I don't know, maybe you disagree or you agree with me, Dana. The moment you are this free creator with no expectations attached, you will experience anything because it is what it is. Anything can happen.
I do believe that. I think it's more, I'm just don't close doors. Like, so when I started, I wasn't doing Pinterest. It just, I followed the flow that came natural of what are my clients' pain points? I worked with a lot of wedding bros and wedding shows, which were their big word of mouth push, no longer really existed. So how do you help them amplify their brand reach when they can't go out and talk to people? So I started looking into ways to support them. They didn't even ask. I just wanted to go the extra mile. And that's how I discovered a webinar that talked about Pinterest marketing and the visual aspect. And we all know events are visual. Like if you've planned a wedding or corporate event, there's a mood board. There's a visual board that the planner will bring so that you can approve or change the look and vibe of your upcoming event. And then all vendors, its timeline, everything flows around that mood board. So you need that visual inspiration. And when I watched it, it was such a big light bulb moment of, duh, why would we not tap into this search engine that utilizes visual components that we all know if you've planned a wedding or some like a spring brunch birthday party, you go to Pinterest anyway. So why not tap into that and reverse engineer it to funnel those people that are looking to help them find you?
So if you now compare Pinterest and let's say traditional social media, because Pinterest is not social. Though I have to
No.
say that social media platforms, as they are now moving into 2025 and past, I do see or read everywhere that social media platforms are actually improving the buyer experience more than the social aspect. So I do expect a huge change in the next 5 to 10 years here too. But Pinterest has never been social, but it is actually a search engine for everything. Like I'm finding
Everything.
my Christmas decoration on it and all those. I don't know if you've ever seen those. They always come across, like Pinterest knows, right? It's Christmas. So it shows you what you need to know. And I've been doing these little roses, frozen roses from lemon. So you can drop
Oh,
them into a glass. Yes, you can drop
I've
them into your
seen
water glass
them.
and your table looks beautiful. So I got hooked on that. But now let's move into you mentioned to drive traffic, visual storytelling and search engine. What
Correct.
do we need to do to leverage and to level up our brand on Pinterest compared to traditional social media?
So I always like to start with the data and the facts. Like when you, if you're in any kind of small business, that part is important because you want to one, spend time on platforms where your ideal audience are. But two, you want your content to last as long as possible so that you don't have to feel like you have to create content every single day, refresh something. Like it's exhausting. So knowing that Pinterest is a search engine, so it has the power capabilities of Google, Yahoo, Bing, whatever other search engines are out there, and the content lasts longer. It stays searchable for months or even years, depending on how evergreen it is. So that means your work, your blog post is constantly going to be discovered by new leads without you having to post about it daily. Whereas you get a new blog, you write a new blog post and you share, or you do a podcast episode. Let's start with that. You do a podcast episode and you share a reel on Instagram about it. That It's going to disappear in the algorithm within 24 to 48 hours. But you can take that same reel and turn it into a pin, a video pin, and it will be searchable for months because Today, tomorrow, in 5 years, small business owners will always be searching for some way to market their business. And so this topic is going to be needed 5 years from now. And so this pin has the ability to be discovered that much longer in advance. They probably will not find it on Instagram because it's going to be buried in all your other content or someone else's content. And that's just not how the algorithm is meant to be work. It's also different because Instagram, Facebook, really any platform that's social, they want you to stay on the platform. You get hurt, everyone knows, like it hurts you in the algorithm. If you have a link in your post, you have to like hide it in comments or any chat to use a keyword to go into a flow. And those things are great, but Pinterest is designed for you to leave the platform. It's designed for you to see this pin, this little tiny billboard, and click and take action. Go to that blog post, go to that service page, sign up for that newsletter, listen to this podcast. Whatever it is that you are trying to create those touch points to nurture your audience, Pinterest wants you to take them directly there.
I'm personally leveraging podcast and traditional media to avoid this whole managed head and not putting links. I'll be bloody honest, like I don't care. I'll still put them there, but I do, of course, see the disadvantage of it. I would like to dive shortly before into research. Like you said, we need the data, we need to know the pain points. I would like to know how you go about that. But before we do that, evergreen, what is that if somebody has never heard? Evergreen.
I did not realize how many people don't know what that is until the last couple of months. I've done consultation calls with various industries and they've asked the same question. So I think I'm going to create a podcast or a blog post just on what it is. But the easiest way to explain it is evergreen content is content that remains relevant and valuable over time. So rather than being tied to a specific event or trend or season, it continues to drive traffic, engagement, and leads long after it's published. So using your example, you mentioned Christmas. You can create content that's around Christmas, so like a gift guide or easy, unique Christmas table decorations. People are going to search for that. Yes, it's seasonal, but they're going to look for that every single year. So it remains relevant over and valuable over time because, especially if it's like a timeless design, it doesn't matter what the trends are, it's going to fit in regardless. So examples of evergreen content could be blog posts answering common industry questions, how-to guides and tutorials, lists. 10 ways to book more clients on Pinterest, or how to save 10 ways to save money if your budget is tight. Case studies, success stories, that's a great place to showcase your testimonials. Podcast episodes with timeless strategies, lead magnets like checklists, templates, ebooks, all of those things can last a long time. You may have to update it over time as trends change, but for the most part, the content itself remains relevant. So, like weddings, for instance, doesn't matter what the trends are, the colors change, the decorations change. Everyone needs to know how to plan a wedding, how to remove the stress, how to find key vendors. What vendors do you even need? What venues, like who are the top venues? Where are the best venues that match your aesthetic? This is evergreen content, and that's how you tie it into setting yourself apart. And not just, you do want to include trends from time to time just to gain traction, but you want to have that timeless content. If you attract budget brides, their evergreen content needs or relevant content is going to be different than luxury. But they both still need to know the base level of, oh my gosh, I'm engaged. Now what?
Totally get that. When we do top funnel content on social media, meaning that the content that is it's I always say if you create a piece of content, it needs to pay into your success account, meaning you need to have a goal with it. And when we create top funnel content, meaning we want to get followers, we want to get the eyes on our brands. I always want to make sure that should that ever come up again in someone's feed, because Instagram does that sometimes. Suddenly you get to see that there was a I had recently a couple of posts that didn't perform well, and months later they got like views. And I'm like, huh? Okay, cool that this is actually still something that is relevant. And I always emphasize that creating for the sake of creating is just something where we waste our time. And I think you agree that this is on Pinterest too. Therefore, I would like to know, we need to know what to say, what to do. So it is actually an evergreen piece. And this means we need to make the research. I would like to know from you, Dana, how do you go about research?
I use a few things. Pinterest is where people go when they're looking for inspiration or to solve a problem or they're planning. Just their mindset is different. And Pinterest is really good at tracking that and knowing what their audience, their users, there's 439 million users every single month. And they're really good at honing in on what these people are looking for and how they're looking for it and how they take in content. So I always start with Pinterest trends to see what's going, like what's currently trending in the next 30 to 45 days, but then you can change the view and it's you can seasonal this time last year. So you can see like how it shifted from over time. They also have what's called Pinterest Predicts, which is based on all the analytics from up to this point. What do they see growing? And so it kind of gives you a leg up on how can I tie my content today to what's potentially going to be popular 30, 45 days from now. So I dive into those things. I will, for some industries, also look into Google Analytics of what people are searching just on Google and then tie that into Pinterest because the better optimized your account is on Pinterest, it can help you place higher or rank higher on Google as well.
So you mean that then the Pinterest content appears in the Google search? That's cool.
So specifically Google looks at to see if your website or anything is credible and not spam. They want to know see how many backlinks you have, the type of content, like they crawl your website looking for certain things. And one of those is backlinks. How many other people are talking about your website and trying to send people to you? Pinterest helps with that. You put links, that's backlinks for your website. You now have You're building your own credibility by doing so.
So this is where we then tie all loose ends together into a nice marketing loop, and we do not have those end loops because often what I see is that we have people have a landing page, but the landing page doesn't go anywhere, or we have a lead magnet, and then what? Because the thank you page doesn't have anything to move from there, and we would expect that people know. We would just expect that people know what to do. Like nobody knows what to do unless you tell them. And this is a forever rule I'm preaching. Like you need to tell your potential buyers their next step. And you just incredibly close that loop on having evergreen content that leads to your website from the website. Anywhere else, but it's also like you would appear in Google search and you would appear on other. I totally get it. It makes total sense.
Well, good.
Enough.
I'm glad I explained it
Total sense. So good. So now, if we speak about storytelling is definitely something that sets brands apart, and I always preach to people, please let us know how you got there. Tell us why this is so important and paint the picture for us, because every piece of content, no matter whether this is a traditional media, a written piece, whether this is Pinterest, social media, podcast, let us see us through you, because this is where we connect emotionally. Now, you mentioned in our previous conversation visual storytelling. Can you elaborate on that?
Visual storytelling is just storytelling is what, let's start with that. Storytelling is what makes your brand memorable and relatable. And so people don't just buy products or service, they buy emotions, they buy experiences and connection. And visuals help build that trust. It sparks engagement because essentially that's what you're trying to accomplish on TikTok or Instagram is having them stop their scroll, but they're not. We're on that platform to be entertained. So you have to work really hard to get someone to stop and to hook their attention for however long that reel is or that TikTok. But Pinterest, like I said, their intent is different. They're actively looking for something, and so they're going to pay more attention to the visuals to see if it answers their problem. So using that visual discovery, people are going to look for inspiration and solutions. So to create a visual journey, you want to have a mix of pen styles. You can have what's called the static, which is the standard pen. It's an image, a couple of images with overlay text, and your business name is on there. It could be a carousel where it's just like on Instagram, but the size is different, and they can flip through and see the progression in the story. Or it can be a video pin, which is why I will never tell someone to make one reel and then never do anything with it. Give it a longer shelf life and put it on Pinterest.
So you
Those three.
recommend taking the same reel that you created for TikTok or the same video you created for TikTok or Instagram or Facebook and use it on Pinterest?
Absolutely.
Okay, cool.
I work smarter, not harder.
I
Because most people with reels, they have, or TikTok, they're gonna have a funnel attached to it. I was trying to think workflow. They're gonna have a funnel attached to it, which means keyword, ManyChat's gonna send them a string of messages. So take that same one, put it on Pinterest, and you can link it to that same post on Instagram. So almost beating that algorithm with, ha ha, it's not gonna last more than 48 hours because I put it on Pinterest with this link. Or you can use that same video to send them directly to the landing page that ManyChat or whatever automated platform you're using, it was going to send them anyway. Just send them directly there. But then you can do the A/B testing and try both to see which one works better.
Okay. So now I have a full picture, and I think we have a full picture about how to leverage Pinterest as a marketing tool. Now let's dive a little bit into the detail. As you mentioned the wedding industry, or I spoke about, Christmas and stuff, everybody who has to do with decoration, recipes, etc., that has actually, that already contains that visual, that beautiful thing that you work with anyway. So now let's say, let's take another industry like a life coach or a sports coach. How do we do this whole storytelling thing if we perhaps don't have always a perfect image? Because Pinterest does look pretty, I have to say. Wherever you go, there is like this beauty. And I think this is what sucks people in, like honestly. Like I could go forever on cups and glasses and decoration, obviously. But
Yes.
how do we work with that? Because I know from experience, and I'm also telling this, like, please never, before you have made any money in your business, don't waste any dollar on a brand photographer, because as long as you're not sure about your brand, you don't need branded photos, because this is gonna get nowhere. And then perhaps you have those 10 for your website, but then we create consistently on Pinterest. How do we, what can we create? How can we create those visuals where we, when we don't have the materials necessarily?
That's actually a good question. So one, I would start with making long form content into more digestible. So breaking down a blog post or a case study, if you're lucky enough to have one early on in your business, and break it down into more bite-sized pieces. And so each pin can be one of the topics, pillars, points of view that you're trying to get across.
Written, like a written quote or a statement or.
It could be a quote, it could be like a list, top three ways life coaching can change your life. I don't know. You said life coaching, I'm running with it.
We roll with that, yeah.
We're going with that. That's probably not the best one, but on the fly, that's what you get. But it helps you build brand authority. So for life coaches, you can share the personal development tips. You can, like I said, blog posts. If you have videos, if you have YouTube shorts, create the carousel pins with actionable mindset shifts, goal setting strategies, or productivity hacks. That will forever be on Pinterest. I look for them all the time. You can promote your free resources on there. So if you're trying to get more eyes on your lead magnet to grow your email list, because maybe you haven't even launched your business. You're just trying to gauge interest. Start with growing your email list and, self-reflection worksheets, journaling prompts, self-guided meditations, mini courses. These are things that are going to pull people to sign up for your newsletter. And then now you have a more direct way to communicate with them. So when you do launch your services, they're like primed and ready because they're on your newsletter and they're taking in your stuff every single week or however often you send it. I love that you mentioned sports coaches because I personally looked up sports coaching on Pinterest a month ago because I was voluntold to be my daughter's soccer coach, which I know nothing about sports.
Lovely.
So I needed visuals of what do I do with these kids? They're 4 years old. It's like herding cats. What do I do? How do I do this? Help.
Yeah. How do we do football with somebody who can barely walk, so to say?
Well, and then their attention span, like how I'm supposed to coach them for an hour? What do I do?
What are we gonna
So
do?
I specifically looked for like training techniques that demonstrated. So I found short videos, I found how-to guides. I thankfully found some Parks and Rec in a whole nother state that created PDFs of eat like weekly training practice. I was like, sold. That's what I'm doing every week. It's already broken down for me. My life is immediately easier and I'm happy. So those are ways that like I don't even know when they posted that. I couldn't tell you. It probably was 5 years ago with how that PDF looked, but it answered my questions. And it's obviously still working months, probably years later for me specifically. So those are just ways that like these types of industries can tap into the search process and adding the visuals. If you don't have branding shoots, I also recommend no one spend money on branding shoots, on marketing. You like that's why I looked into organic marketing. When I launched my business, I had no money that I wanted to spare
I'm not saying
on
don't
this.
have them or find if you are lucky to have a brand strategist who is your friend, by all means, like get out everything they have to offer. So, and once you have made the cash, please, I think investing into a brand photo shoot or generally in a photo shoot is something very cool. I have had them. I love them. It makes you feel like it gives you this, oh, I made it. You know, like I'm a star,
Yes.
but it's actually the shoot itself. It's something very personal that gives you the, you know, maybe perhaps some confidence and you learn something about your identity. If you have a good photographer, they will teach you about who you are, believe me. But it is
Yes.
not marketing unless you can then take those photos and do something with it. So they actually get out in the world and do what they are supposed to be doing. So I'm not saying don't do it, but brand photo shoots can be expensive. And I think if we can create pins like on Canva. Thank you for existing.
What did we do without Kim?
I think Mrs. Perkins did just an incredible, great job on creating this platform because otherwise we all would have been lost. Like I wouldn't know how to create visuals otherwise. Though I do not bother so much anymore with it. But back in the days, like 3 years ago, I did a lot and it was thankful. I was thankful to have them. So I'm not saying don't do this photo shoots, but easy, simple things that
Yes.
can be done right here, right now, because all we need are those eyes on our businesses.
Yeah, so
Speaking.
that's, I'm also not saying don't do those things, but don't let not having a branding shoot keep you from marketing your business. That's how you're going to, because honestly, I mean, people love pretty and there's Pinterest perfection, but really what they're looking for are solutions, problem solving, and inspiration. And you can inspire someone without a branding shoot. You just need to share your voice, your expertise, and your expertise and your passion, and that's going to inspire them and that's going to nurture them along to buy from you, to share your content with someone else who may then buy from you. You're building up that referral base and that word of mouth marketing with an online platform is essentially what you're doing. So if you don't have branding, use stock photos, use high quality stock photos. I love hot stock. I love, there's another one that I've been growing on, and they're free. Like hot stock, you have to pay for. So But there's
Pixels that can be
plenty
used.
where you can get free, high quality graphics. And I'll share them with you later. I don't have them off the top of my head, but they're to make sure they're in the show notes so that they can access. And you can sort it by color. You can sort it by aesthetic. Do you want more lifestyle? Do you want more fitness? Do you want whatever? Like they exist and they're there to help.
So now that we have clarified the what and the how, and I also say that just perfection keeps you from opportunities. And I would like to know, if you create for Pinterest, how often do you post? Let's say a day, a week, or a month. What are the numbers here that we need to also successfully grow that Pinterest account? Or are numbers in that specific, like the follower numbers, like not at all relevant?
Follower count to me does not matter. Visibility numbers matter, right? So, I would say because I don't have a lot of followers on Pinterest, what I look at are view counts. I want to make sure my content is being seen. Not everyone's going to follow me, but they're going to see it. So, what you I look at and what I recommend looking at are first impressions. This shows how often your pins appear in the search. So if I look for yellow sundress, summer's coming, just those three keywords is if I am a fashion designer or a small boutique or I have an LTK account and I want to share, I want my content to show up, even though those are the only three words that they pulled up somehow, some way. A high number means the higher the number, the more your keywords and visuals are effective, and Pinterest is pushing it. It's tying in those three keywords to what it is that you offer based on your pin titles and descriptions. Next is like almost like funnel is the saves. How many people are saving your content? How many people are putting them to the boards? Saves indicate how valuable and relevant your content is. That means they searched, it was on their feed, and then they liked it enough to open it and save it to a board. Maybe it's their future wardrobe, or they're doing a branding shoot that they're prepping for. And so they're going to come back to that to buy it when it's time to go do the branding shoot or whatever, when they go on vacation. So the more saves, the longer your pin circulates on Pinterest as well. So then the next one, and this is very, very important, are the outbound clicks. Are people taking action? So they see it, they open it, they save it, but are they going back and clicking through based on your call to action? Are they going to your website? Are they going to your LTK post? Are they going to your Etsy store? Are they going wherever, whatever it
Wherever
is
you
that you
send
want to
them,
send
yeah.
them? Are they taking action and going to visit your website, the offer, the product? High clicks means your call to action and your pin design is working. It's compelling them. To it's motivating them to move forward, essentially. Engagements are another metric that you can use, but those are the three that when I'm working with a client, those are the ones that we work with, like focus on. And I always start with impressions. We want to get your keywords working and we want to fine-tune it so that you are showing up in as many searches as humanly possible so that we can then fine-tune action. Getting them to click through, but first we have to get the content seen.
Speaking of, before I ask you my last question, I'm going to ask you the before last question. When speaking of clients and working with you, Dana, how can we connect with you and how can we work with you? What can you do for us?
So I know I understand how exhausting it can feel as a business owner trying to post on all the platforms. It has taken me a long time to just decide that Instagram is where my ideal audience is, but they're also on Pinterest and I want to reach new people. So you can connect with me on Instagram because it's probably the best way to get in touch with me. My handle is at danas.desk.nc. But you can also find me through the Styled Pin Collection. It is my subscription service where we take the overwhelm out of creating content out of repurposing your content, so you're not as overwhelmed, and hopefully it can free up some bandwidth to where you don't feel compelled to create social media posts 7 days a week, if not more often than that. The Style Pin collection, it's high converting Pinterest graphics, ready to go each month. It's almost like a plug and play. You add your own branding, colors, and fonts, and your images, and then you pin it and be done. Those are the two
That
best
sounds
ways.
easy.
I've tried to make it as simple as possible for anyone to get started and to see the momentum that Pinterest can bring.
Absolutely. Business can be simple. I think it's people do making it difficult or complicated because we think the more fancy things are and the better they will work. But I have made experience the simplicity in every single step you take is the key to success, like whatever. Just we often try to overthink it, so I'm thankful you're pointing that out. Friends, if you're listening to this episode, you love it, you learned from it, go ahead, share it with a friend who needs to hear this. And if you want to learn more about this, let us know. Leave us a comment, connect with us. So only if we know that you are actually learning something from this, we can create more of it. All links that Dana was just mentioning will be for you ready in the show notes. You have easy access and you can move from there. And I would love to round up this conversation, or would love to round up. I think we could talk forever and days and weeks. But Dana, I would like to know from you, and I'm asking this question to everyone to connect to you and your future vision. How would you like to spend your old days?
I love and miss traveling so much.
Oh, so where we will find you? What countries are on the list?
Oh, my most iconic trip was hiking through Ireland along the Wicklow Way, and I would do anything to be able to go back. I really would love to take my kids, but they're not hikers like I am, so I just would not disrupt my peace that way. But I love hiking and being outside and just ex like really diving into new places. I don't want to be seen as a tourist. I really want to feel like, oh, I'm moving here. So what are the behind the scenes touristy things that I can get into? And so that's why we hiked. We didn't stay in Dublin like everyone was going to. We moved south and hiked around. So I would love, Scotland is on my list. The Guernsey Isles are actually at the top of my list, but that's from a book, and so I just need to see it in person. So that's what I'm building my business to be able to have the time freedom to go visit, see, experience, and do while also supporting creative business owners to do whatever it is that they want to do.
Exactly, and to support your life the way it's easy for you, and your kids will grow up, so you will not have to drag them along. They might even grow up into it, and become hikers. You never know. Like I never have expectations, but I do have high hopes that
High
things will
hopes,
change. So
yes.
you might take them along with you, and if not, then I'm excited to see this footage from Ireland, Dana. Thank you
Oh my gosh.
for being an incredible guest on the show.
Thank you.